Welcome back to another episode of the Backstraight Podcast. This is episode number 5. My name is Daniel Squires. I'm joined by my co-host here, Michael McKnight. How are you, Michael?
I'm good, Danny. But more importantly, how are you after that big PB in Dublin last weekend?
Yeah, feeling all good. I've just been taking it easy this past week, just sort of, I guess, trying to let the body recover. And feeling all good and really, really happy with the results. Dublin was a lot harder than when I ran London in the spring. It's a brutal race. I don't know if you've ever done that one, but it was a tough day and tough course and tough conditions. But yeah, good to share it with so many great runners.
Danny, my only marathon experience was Paris, and I ran it on the basis that if you run slowly enough, you can sightsee. So I took in the Arc de Triomphe, the Eiffel Tower, lots of really nice things.
That was the second time I've actually been down to Dublin. So I tried to take in as many landmarks as I could throughout the race when I wasn't hurting. So, you know, it was a really, really nice section up through Phoenix Park and then sort of back. I think we maybe came back through Phoenix Park and the sun was sort of shining and it was sort of about 8 degrees. It was pretty much like perfect marathon conditions. I was saying to the guy who I was running with next to me there, you know, does the weather get any better than this? No wind, absolutely perfect. And I must have jinxed the whole race because by the end of the race, it was pouring rain. It was real sort of like, you know, Rocky Balboa running in the rain type vibes with, you know, sort of sweat and water running down your face into your eyes. You having to wipe your face. And yeah, it was very rough. And I've got to shout out my girlfriend as well as any other spectators that were down there, because spectating the second half of that race would not have been enjoyable in the wet and the cold.
But the PB makes it worth all the effort.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't know exactly what I was going to run down there. I ran 2:42 at the start of the year in Dublin, and I had a very big summer with some longer races over 50K, over 100K. And then I had about a 10-week block leading into Dublin. And yeah, I just wasn't sure what kind of fatigue I was carrying. I felt like I had a lot of pain in my calves and under, like in my plantar, my left foot going into the race. And I definitely had not as an enjoyable experience as I did in London, where I felt a lot fresher. I was getting a lot of pain in my hip flexors throughout the race, and it felt like a lot more of a grind. But I was stoked to come away with a PB. I definitely lost the pace a little bit just after halfway. Had sort of one of those, like, you know, I came through halfway pretty much bang on pace, around about 2:38 pace. And then that next 15K, I wasn't really looking at the pace too much, but regardless, I wasn't really feeling like I could push or do anything like that. It was just like a holding period just so I could get within, you know, closing distance of the end of the race, say like 4 or 5 miles within the end. And then I knew, okay, from there I can hopefully push on and close a bit quicker. But I think there's more to come for the future with the marathon. I just have to be a bit fresher and yeah, happy to be under 2:40 because it means I get championship entry, which is an interesting thing. So I can enter London championship entry and a few other races, I think. So that's good.
Happy days.
I guess moving on from Dublin, what else are we going to be chatting about in this episode? We've got two races that we're going to cover domestically. So we had the McConnell Shield cross country, and then we'll just give a little bit of an update on what happened in Finn Valley in the novice cross country as well. So you were actually there at the McConnell Shield races, Michael. Did you want to give us a bit of a recap of what happened?
Yeah, I went up and I brought the mobile recording equipment. So there's a couple of interviews with podium people in both the men's and women's races. And also I caught up with Norman, who's one of the race organizers, just to find a little bit more about the history of the race. But yeah, starting with the ladies' race, it was a really, really fantastic battle. Hannah Gilliland from Striders, who's been in sparkling form, she started as a big favourite and took the race out really hard. Maybe too hard, because she paid a pretty heavy price for the early pace, and before the end of the first lap had been reeled in by Rebecca Osborne and Robin McKee. Robin, who looked really strong, forged ahead on the second lap and established a winning gap. She was probably a surprise winner for some people in that she hasn't run at this level in the country for a couple of seasons, but she's a talented athlete and certainly has this kind of performance in the locker. She had a pretty tough year last year with illness and a range of things. Rebecca Osborne, a very solid performance in second. And while Hannah is probably disappointed, she's a very good athlete and will bounce back for sure. I think there's going to be a number of tussles between this trio over the winter. The men's race, then, you can't escape the marathon today in this chat we're having. Conall McCambridge, who's prepping for Valencia, was an absolute beast in the McConnell Shield. Took the race by the scruff of the neck from the get-go, and was in control throughout. There's a little group behind him that tried the challenge, but he just kept it going so hard nobody could live with him. Luke Dinsmore had a good performance, finishing third, just behind Gary Crummy from Newry. Haven't seen Gary racing for a while, but again, a very good runner. Neil McCartan back and forth, solid run, and probably run of the day from Brandon McKeown from Striders in fifth. Annadale, I think, just about edged the team race from North Belfast. Masters was pretty competitive as well. John Black won the men's 35 and I think finished maybe ninth in the overall race. Kieran McKendry from Striders took the men 40. Paul Carroll, male 50. The perennial Dave Clark from North, the male 60. And my old mucker, Lawrence Johnson, male 65. So that's the men, Danny. I think you have some of the more detail for the ladies' results.
Yes, I indeed do. For the women's 35 winner was Catherine O'Connor, and then the women's 40 winner was Fiona McQuillan. Women's 50 winner was Karen Wilton, and Jacqueline McMonagall was the women's 55 winner. The team results for the men's and women's races. So the women's races, it was City of Derry Spartans in first, Lagan Valley AC in second, and East Down Athletics Club in third. And then the men's team results, it was, as you mentioned, Annadale Striders in first, North Belfast Harriers in second, followed by North Down AC in third. And I must say, Conall McCambridge, he might be my favorite Northern Irish runner at the moment. His curve on Strava, his like training curve, is a thing of beauty. I encourage everyone who is looking to train for a marathon or just looking, how to progress their weekly volume, that kind of thing. Look at his curve on Strava. It's absolutely brilliant. So he's having a ripper season. And so is Robin. I think that's her third win of the season in cross country. I'm not entirely sure though.
Yeah, it's great to see because she's endured a tough 12 months, but just kept the faith and kept working hard. And a big shout out also to Phil Cooper, who's her training partner, who is a really good guy to have on your wing.
Yep, you're not wrong about that. Phil is a great bloke. You mentioned earlier that you had the little microphone down there at the race. So, how about I roll a few of those clips now and then we'll catch up after this to discuss the results at the Novice.
And here we have it, Robin McKee from Striders, to get a really good win. Robin's had been working really hard in training, so I think we'll be really, really pleased with that performance. And Rebecca Nixon from Dromore coming in for a hard-earned second place. And just through the trees now I can see Hannah Gilliland, also from Annadale Striders, coming to complete the podium places with Catherine O'Connor in fourth, about 40 metres back. So I'm here with Robin McKee and Rebecca Nixon.
Osborne.
Start again.
Same
so
thing.
So I'm here with Robin McKee and Rebecca Osborne, who were 1 and 2 in the ladies' race today, and just getting their feelings on how the race went. So we'll start with Robin.
Yeah, I'm really shocked and delighted with how that went today. My aim was just to sit in the pack and just hold on for as long as I could, but I actually felt really strong. And it's not like me to take a race on, but I just thought, right, I'm going to go for it. And then I know Rebecca's a really fast finisher, so I was just trying to keep the gap so that she wouldn't be with me at the end. But yeah, I'm delighted with that today.
And how was it for you?
Yeah, no, really enjoyed it. After the Bobby Ray, I felt a bit disappointed in myself not getting everything out of myself. So today I was just, you know, go give 100% and see what that looked like. The race went out really fast, but we worked together and got it back. And then I took it on mid-race, and then Robin flew past me. So I was just trying to like not let the gap grow too much, and also, you know, keep off the girls behind. So.
And what were conditions like underfoot around the course?
Surprisingly very good, all things considered. I think most of us were expecting the race to be cancelled midweek, but no, it went ahead and conditions were perfect for cross country, to be honest.
And what's next for you?
Next for me, Sealy.
Okay.
Yeah, Sealy.
And what would success look like there? Have you a time you want, or a position, or?
Really, to be honest, you know, like after track season, I said to my coach, there's no way I'm doing Sealy, like that's too far for me. But, you know, I've just taken each race as it's come, and, you know, I feel like I could do a decent run at Sealy. So my PB is 39 minutes.
So
anything below that.
I'm going to predict that you will get a new PB.
Hopefully. Oh, if it all goes to plan, yes, hopefully. Well,
good luck with that.
Thank you very much.
So, Robin, what's next for you?
I'm going down to Kilkenny to do the Irish National down there, and then after that the Sealy as well. So
okay.
Yeah, lots coming up and lots to look forward to after today.
Okay, well look, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Good luck going forward.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So I'm here with Norman Cackey from East Antrim Harriers,
yeah.
Who's going to tell me a little bit about the history of this very prestigious race.
How many years is it now? I can't remember.
I think it's about, was it 87?
87 years, and I started in the first one.
Well, you're looking very well for all that.
Mr. McCall sponsored this race at the very start. It was a bar up in the town, and he sponsored the race, and we have had it. We didn't have it here at the start. We had it up the mill, up the Hillhead Road, in the river, or in the up there, and you used to wash in the river.
Wow.
That's how you get clean. You come down and washed in the 6 mile water.
Well, I think I can remember running it up on the Hillhead Road, and I think
yes.
At that stage it was 6 miles.
Aye, it would have been 6 miles. And
there was
days.
A muddy lane with rocks in it.
Yeah. Now, thankfully, I never had to do that. I wasn't in the club then.
Well, it's great. It's a great meet today. You've
it
really
is.
Lucked out with the weather.
I thought it was going to be worse than this. I actually thought, with all, it's quite not too mucky. I thought it was going to be really mucky today.
And it's also great to see that there's a thriving club again in the
yes.
Ballyclare region.
Yes, we have about 50 members now, and it's just right for us.
And enjoying it?
And enjoying it, yes.
Well, look, thanks very much for chatting to me. So we're just waiting here to see the leaders as they come through. And it's Conal McCambridge from North Belfast with about a 30-metre lead from Neil McCartan from East Down. And there's then a small group just coming behind with, looks like Luke Dinsmore, Brandon McKeown and Gary Crummy. Annandale Striders packing reasonably well. I think maybe with 4 or 5 in the first dozen, which at the minute puts them ahead in terms of the team race. Let's see how it progresses. So just watching the denouement of the McConnell Shield. So in first place we had Conal McCambridge from North Belfast, followed home by Gary Crummy from Uri, with Luke Dinsmore from Annandale Striders completing the podium. So I'm here with the first three in the McConnell Shield, which is one of the North's most historic cross-country races. I think maybe this is year 88. So Conal McCambridge, top of the podium for the second time this season.
Yeah, it's been going well so far. Yeah, delighted with that today. I sent the boys there, went down a little bit too quick, and I was like, oh no, I panicked. I was like, I have to keep going, I can't look back. So just trying to keep pushing on. And everyone was shouting at different distances at me, so I thought they were catching me towards the end, but managed to hold on, so it was good.
This is the marathon training seems to be working.
Yeah, it's all going in the right direction, so we've...
You look very, very strong.
A couple of weeks to go, so we're getting there.
good. Gary, second place, how was that?
Happy enough. He went out very strong, and I tried to catch him, but there was too much of a lead for him, and hard race, but it was good. Good to get back at it.
And you were saying a moment ago you were anticipating terrible conditions, but it was okay underfoot.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be bad. Nearly it's been bad all week with floods and that. I thought down here it was going to be just as bad, but no, it was perfect. The weather was great. Not too mucky, like, so I can't complain about that.
And Luke Dinsmore from Striders on the podium?
Yes, no, happy with that. First run out of the season now, so wanted to get a good run out before Nationals in a couple of weeks, and today proved to be that. So yeah, no, pleased with that, and just built push on from that now.
And I was watching with interest as a
epic tussle and unfolded with your training buddy McCartan?
Yes, McCartan. I saw him. He went off quite quick on the first lap and just tried to.
I've never seen him go off like that ever.
No. I was a first now, but no, he did well to hang on for fourth, and for him too, it's a good first run out of the season.
And what's next for you?
So national cross country, 2 weeks down in Kilkenny. So looking forward to getting a good run out there with the Striders guys.
Good luck with that.
Thank you, Michael.
Gary, what's up for you next?
Probably CD Cup in December. Maybe be racing between, but that's what I'm looking towards.
Okay. Good luck and thanks for talking to us.
Thank you very much.
Connell, what's next for you?
I'm not sure. There's the Nationals in 2 weeks' time, so I might make a trip down and see how it goes.
You've got a strong team?
Yeah, it should be a good squad coming over. Should be a strong four there. So
possible podium?
Oh, that would be the dream, but we'll see.
Okay.
That would be the dream.
Well, good to talk to you. Cheers.
Yes, thanks very much.
Now we head over to Finn Valley for the Ulster Novice and Uneven Ages Cross Country Championships. First place in the men's race went to Sean McGinley from Finn Valley, then Jared Martin from Ballydrain Harriers AC, followed by James Monaghan from St. Peter's AC. And then in the women's novice race, it was Amy Green from Finn Valley, Kira Cunningham from Tier Connell, and then we had Ella Quinn from Omar Harriers. So yeah, it looked very, very wet over there. I saw some photos where there wasn't just mud. It looked like there was one part of the course was completely underwater. So I don't envy anyone who was running out there.
Yeah, it's a notoriously difficult course because it's in a floodplain and the farmers' fields, and there's been years up there where it's been like running through soup. But actually, the men's race was a very strong field because Sean McGinley is an outstanding young athlete. He's at Dublin City University at the minute, was on the Irish team that I think medaled last year in the European under-20s. You know, very, very strong athlete. Jared Martin from Ballydrain, I think, is at Cambridge at the moment at uni. Again, a really good athlete. So good competition. And Amy Green, I think, she had a fantastic run a couple of weeks ago at Bobby Ray. So she's obviously one to look out for as well.
And before we leave the domestic results and chat about New York Marathon, I believe that you wanted to give a shout out to someone, Michael.
Yes, Danny. Just to Frances Purvis and the ladies off to Felta in Mid-Ulster for a team gold in the ladies novice. Frances, who's Cahir's dad, is a stalwart of the sport in his area and has been working really, really hard to build a strong ladies team. And I've been watching as month by month, they've been getting podiums and growing in confidence. Performance levels have been rising. So to take the gold in the novice, I saw a photograph on Twitter last night and Francie looked like he had actually was mid-air. So hopefully by today, he's re-established contact with the earth. But look, well done, Francie.
Brilliant stuff and well-deserved. As luck would have it, since we recorded those results there for the novice race out in Finn Valley, the women's standings have changed. Unfortunately, Amy Green has been stripped of her title and the first place now belongs to Kira Cunningham. Second place is Ella Quinn and third place is Annandale Strider, Katrina Eddington. So well done to all those ladies and enjoy the rest of the episode. Just sort of going a bit further abroad, obviously we're chatting about something else that's marathon related, but the New York City Marathon happened today and actually caught some of the race. I think the women's race would have been one that a lot of people would have loved spectating. There was about five women all the way up until the final mile all together, bunched together, and then Helen O'Beery got the win in 2:27 in a sprint finish over Gide, I believe. And then that was completely the opposite in the men's race over there in New York. Tamarat Toller, he got the win in a course record of 2:06. So yeah, he was a clear winner by a couple of minutes. Interestingly as well, I don't know if you saw this, the national, so the US national 5K was on the day before.
Yeah, I
And
saw that the bus.
yes, all of the competitors almost got taken out by a bus. So you can't avoid traffic in New York, apparently.
Yeah, I thought that's only the kind of thing that could happen in Belfast, but clearly not. Yeah.
Yeah, happens everywhere. Now, we've already touched on Dublin Marathon, but I think it hasn't quite had its day in the sun. I think it's worth chatting about the Irish Championship results down there in the men's and the women's. Before we actually throw over to our interview for this week with two runners from Roadrunners AC, Noel McNally and Caitlin Harvey, who both had spectacular runs down there in Dublin. But before we go to that interview, we wanted to sort of talk about here Stephen Scullion. He won the Irish Men's Championship, bit of a return to form. He also came third overall in just under 2:12, I believe. That was a bit of a return to form for him. I think he's had a bit of a bit of a tough time in, well, I would say almost recent years, not really getting any super results on the board. I think he might have run a half marathon a few weeks ago where he ran about 70 minutes, which is a lot slower than someone who is could run 2:09 in the marathon should be running. So yeah, look, honestly, I think a lot of people out there would echo my sentiment in saying that, glad that he got a good one on the board, and fortunately we couldn't get him on for this week. The second place result, that was for Ryan Creech, I believe. And then we had third place was a debut from Ryan Forsyth from Newcastle and District
Sorry.
CC.
I
Oh,
think
Forsyth, is it? Okay.
I'm sorry, yeah. Can I just jump in on literally jump in on Scullion? Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Danny. I mean, Stephen tends to be the big story in most marathons that he's involved in, for good reasons or for not so good reasons. He's just that kind of character. I think it was a something of a redemption for him. Sometimes we forget, he's a very good athlete, and when he's in the zone, he can do really good things. I watched the race on YouTube, and he ran a near perfect race and really surged through the field in the closing stages. At one point he was maybe ninth, tenth, but came through and yeah, right onto the podium. I suppose the interesting thing will be for him now, can this propel him to have a tilt at Olympic qualification? But the challenge is the qualifying standard is outrageous. I don't know whether there's any wriggle room for the Irish selectors or for the Brits or anybody else, but I think it's 2:08, which is, outrageous.
Yeah, so I think that with Paris, it's a bit of an interesting qualification. So I believe 50% of the field comes from people who've run the qualification. And then the other 50% of the field comes from world rankings. So they take I guess, the extra spots that didn't make that qualifying time from the top, 80 or 100 athletes that are ranked for the marathon. So I don't know if that time would put him within, that qualification. But I have heard him on another podcast that he said he would look to run a decent time in Dublin to get the qualification points, and then hopefully be able to run another decent one before Paris so that he could get some more points. So we'll see what happens on that front.
He has a strategy. And yeah, you also mentioned another guy with a local connection, Ryan Forsyth, who's a US-based athlete, but I think it's either his parents or grandparents are from Newcastle. And that was a really, really solid debut, 2:14:43. A couple of other performances I really want to give a bit of attention to. Decky Reid from City of Derry ran 2:29. And bits to break Tommy Hughes' 50 record. Declan is a fantastic athlete on the country, on the roads, and still obviously running really, really well at age 50. Superb performance. What about the women, Danny? Any thoughts there?
Yeah, so in the women's race, it was almost a replay of what happened in the Belfast Half Marathon. You had Anne-Marie McGlynn, who took the Irish title in a time of 2 hours, 34 minutes, 13 seconds. And that was actually her first Irish marathon title. She was followed by North Belfast's Gladys Gagnel, and I'm not sure who the third place was, but yeah, that was sort of the same one-two that we saw in the Belfast half marathon.
Yeah, Anne-Marie, great return to form in terms of marathon. I think she's been building towards this. Yeah, solid but unspectacular in the Belfast half, but this was a really good run. And I, as again, watching it, she looked really strong in the closing stages. Gladys is remarkable. She's 46. Sorry, Gladys. I should never talk about a lady's age, but it's a phenomenal time. 2:37. Not far off for PB, I think, as well. And again, she looked so strong because, Danny, she was just ahead of you, and I was tracking her and you at the same time. And there was, at one point, you were kind of, you got it down to, you know, about a minute and a bit. But I'm sorry, man, she just turned the gas on, the heat on over the last sort of 68 miles and got away again. But yeah, great performance.
And yeah, experience also prevails.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking, of course, then to Caitlin Harvey, who I think was fourth and had a very good marathon debut in 2:45 high. So yeah, some great local performances. Yeah, a lot to get excited about.
Yeah, definitely. I actually saw a post today, which might be a bit of sad news for everyone looking to run Dublin Marathon next year. They're proposing that they change the start and the finish of the marathon. They said there was too much disruption having it start and finish in the middle of the city. So it'd be interesting to see how that sort of unfolds over the next year or so.
So the idea they take it out of them, maybe to Phoenix Park or somewhere where they can manage a large crowd?
Yeah, I believe so. That might be the case. But I don't know Dublin well enough to really say where it could be. But Phoenix Park seems like a logical spot. Nice downhill finish if they come back into the park.
Yeah, Phoenix Park would be good because they already staged the Irish 10 miles, 10K and 5K championships there. And I've been down to the 10 mile, good course, really well managed. So that would work, I guess. But it could be somewhere completely different for all we know.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Developing story. I think that's us for the episode this week, Michael. And, you know, changing it up a little bit, we'll actually end on the interview and close it out from there. So, look, thanks again for joining me, and thanks to all the listeners for joining us here. And enjoy this interview with Noel McNally and Caitlin Harvey from Roadrunners AC.
Hooroo.
Hooroo. Cheers, Michael. Bye. Welcome, Noel and Caitlin. Thank you for joining us here on the Backstraight podcast. Super glad to have you both, fresh off a great run down in Dublin. How are you both feeling?
Ladies first.
I feel really good. Yeah, just about recovered legs, kind of were feeling pretty sore up till about Wednesday. But after my Thursday, feeling okay, ran a few miles on Thursday. And looking forward to going out and seeing everybody tomorrow and actually getting the leg moving. So yeah, feeling good.
What about you, Noel? You're an old hat at this now. So how'd you pull up?
I'm doing good, bud. It's been normally I would train a bit more than I have this week, but it's actually been nice to take some like rest time, just recuperate. But similar to Caitlin, yeah, looking forward to getting out with the guys tomorrow.
Yeah,
yarn to catch up.
It's good to build the want and the lust up again to actually get out the door and go for a run. I personally don't feel like I have that right now, but I'm sure it'll come back in the next week or two. So you're both Roadrunners AC members / athletes. I know, Noel, you don't love that word, but you know, you guys are athletes. A couple of questions about Roadrunners AC. So, Noel, you've been around the sport for a decent while. What is the history of Roadrunners? Can you sort of fill me in and the listeners on that one?
How to get into a small brief meeting. So we were set up in 2019. It was myself, my brother, Brenton, and John. Another guy, we know a guy called D Grant, who would have been like my running hero when I first started. D ran like 2:35 way back in the day. And another friend of ours, Kieran Ray, who'd never ran for a club. We sort of always trained together and just felt like, yeah, we could maybe set up like a marathon-based club, do plenty of training. Like, we love Belfast. We've always trained in Belfast. So, yeah, sort of like up in the mountains, train the hills of Drumbo and just sort of built it from there. But yeah, so I start with Fitch. I think the five was initially, but over the years, it's quickly built up. I think Dublin there, we had our 40th person do the marathon. It was within, like, it's only 4 years. And then I think 21, that was the 21st person to break 3 hours. So, yeah, we sort of built an identity and a community. A lot of people would describe us as the noisy neighbours because we have a big white tent and the music's always pumping. The support crew's always screaming. But, yeah, just, I don't know, community-based, I guess, is probably the best way to describe us. Lots of fun, but lots of hard training.
And the main focus of Roadrunners is on the marathon, is that right?
I guess, to answer you ask, I mean, I would say at the start, probably, yeah. But, I mean, we have a lot of quick guys in the club now. We have a lot of younger members joining. So it's like, you want to encourage all levels. And we had a few guys doing cross country today, which goes against the title of Roadrunners. But, yeah, we're just sort of growing and growing exponentially. So can't complain. But I would, if somebody asks, I would probably, if I had to put my hat on it, I'd say, yeah, distance-based. Yeah, we just love, I guess, getting out for 2-3 hour runs with your mates, having a laugh, training hard.
Yeah, it's a good way to spend a Sunday. So, you know, I know you're always on a bit of a recruitment drive. So where do you train and when?
Well, we would tend, I mean, I'm very much as well train with different groups as well. So it's not a case of you have to join us. But generally speaking, we would train at Musgrave on a Tuesday and Thursday. It's Musgrave Park Hospital. It's a flat loop. It's a mile loop. It's always gridded. There's lights on. It's pretty safe. You do need to wear your high vis, but that's where we primarily train. The guys, some guys are training the track on a Tuesday as well. And then the Sunday group, we sort of just come together, like the big Belfast community, and just sort of meet at the track and go for a longer run. Could be in the hills. Yeah, could be up the mountains. Could be anywhere.
And are you the main coach at Roadrunners, or how does the coaching sort of work for that?
Yeah, so there's a few guys who work together. So I know there's a couple of runners who are actually getting like professionally coached. Well, they're paying professionals to coach them. I do have my own group of guys that coach. I would tend to set the sessions on a Tuesday and a Thursday. But even someone like Caitlin coming across from like her history, like she was still feedback to me in sessions. So although I would say I sort of set the sessions, there's a few people who would certainly chip in with ideas as to what to do or what they've experienced previously. So Marty Ryan, I would speak to most weeks. He's my, what's the word I'm looking for? Godfather of running, I suppose. So a lot of ideas, we sort of bounce off each other. But yeah, there's lots of people that get involved.
Yeah, I can speak from personal experience in the lead up to Dublin. You invited me for a few of the Thursday sessions, and it's a very inviting group, and the sessions are always good. And for some reason, that loop around the hospital, it has not gotten old yet, which I felt like other times certain loops have definitely gotten old, but that loop's all good. So yeah, that's Roadrunners. I guess congrats to all the runners from your club there that did compete in Dublin. It went really well for the majority of them. So yeah, speaking of, one of these runners is yourself, Caitlin. Congratulations on a fantastic debut in the marathon, on a pretty hard course in tough conditions. You ran 2:45:51 and were very close to third in the Irish Championship. How does it feel?
Felt good to do the first marathon. And officially, I think, obviously, so I run for Roadrunners. So Roadrunners is obviously predominantly a marathon-based or like a distance-based club. So I was probably one of the only runners up until last week that hadn't run a marathon. So I've for about a year, I've been the victim of abuse because I'm not a real runner because I haven't run a proper distance yet. So it's good to scratch that itch and finally say that I've run a marathon. But yeah, I feel good. I actually didn't know that I was quite, I didn't really know until but after the race that I was that close to third in the Irish Championship. So would I say that I was disappointed? No, I think like going into the block, I would never have ever, I had a time in mind and I success was the time. So I've had loads of people afterwards saying to me, you know, like, oh, like you're that close, like you're not going to be faster. But no, it doesn't even bother me in the slightest. But it does give me a little bit of a drive for next time or next marathon. So yeah, it's nice.
Absolutely. You'll smash it next time. Before we go into the race in greater detail, can I sort of first ask how you got into running and why you chose to target the marathon?
So I kind of had two kind of bouts of running. So I first started kind of running in like joy of my heart, schools cross country. Kind of got picked for schools cross country and did reasonably well without ever really running. And one of my good friends, her parents ran for Lagan Valley. So I went along to our juniors, and Jim McKeown and things like people like Brian McCorkle did really, really good things up there with the juniors. So I would have gone up and joined them, and then kind of grew from there, joining the back of Mark Kirkkirk for a while, and was an expert corner cutter up at the Dove pitches so that I could kind of keep up with the fast guys. But then as I kind of got a bit older, I was playing hockey and kind of didn't really run very much anymore. So probably had a break for about 7 years, didn't really run at all. And then wasn't really enjoying my hockey as much. So kind of one night a week, would have jumped on the back of John Glover's sessions up at the Bowl, which are kind of famous. Yeah, they were really, really good sessions, and kind of got a love for running again. And then, like quite a lot of people, COVID hit, and I just started running every day. And that's how it's kind of gone since. Since then, I've obviously come to Roadrunners, met loads of really like incredible people, made lots of mistakes in the 3 years, and probably still make lots of mistakes. But yeah, it's been an enjoyable 3 years nonetheless.
Would you say the marathon is your distance, or you maybe going to go back and target something shorter?
I think the actual training towards a marathon, I just enjoy. So I enjoy like the long slog runs of like when you're completely exhausted and you're running off Divis and you couldn't think of anything worse. But like one of the guys that actually Noel had mentioned, Marty Ray, always says it's like not a physiological barrier, it's a psychological barrier. So it's more of like mental aspect of it and just kind of getting it done. So I do enjoy the actual type of marathon training. So I think it's just kind of something I enjoy. And if I enjoy it, might as well. If you're not enjoying it, why do it? So yeah.
Can I jump into that, Danny? Because I know Caitlin, obviously, from her Striders days, but I think you're absolutely right. I watched you a couple of years ago, and you're going through a tough time on track races and stuff. And I've been coaching for a while. The thing that strikes me is actually, as coaches, we sometimes need to sit back and actually be more objective about athletes and talk to them about what makes them happy. Because running is a tough sport, and if you can, you know, pursue an event that you really enjoy with training that you really enjoy, you're going to thrive more rather than, you know, trying to force people sometimes through, you know, round pegs, through square holes by, you got to do this, you got to do that. So I think you maybe find your distance and something, you know, you obviously excel at.
Yeah, definitely. And I think one of the good thing about, like for example, the Sunday group we run in, so there's all different abilities, but the type of run that it is, it's like uphills, downhills, across rivers. So you get benefit from it no matter what, no matter your ability. So yeah, it's definitely, I think, just do something you enjoy. And you can run a track for a long, long time and hit splits, but if you're not enjoying it at the end of the day, what's the point? So yeah.
I suppose the good thing about the marathon as well is that, you know, if you can run a marathon, you can also run all of those other distances below a marathon, you know, decently well. I mean, maybe, you know, the 1500 versus the marathon, they're slightly different, but, you know, 5K, 10K, it's going to benefit a bit from having that strong endurance base. So yeah, couldn't agree more. I guess, you know, talking about the marathon, now you've actually earned your stripes and you're a fully fledged road runner. How did it play out? So, you know, Dublin, tough course, few hills in that. Did you sort of have a plan going into the race, or what was the lead up there?
So I had a plan. We had sort of a few guys in the group that who all kind of trained with me throughout the training block. And I kind of had this like arbitrary figure. I mean, well, not when I say arbitrary figure, people kind of say, you know, like double your half and add 10 minutes. So kind of had this like in my head where it's like go out 6:20. So, but beforehand, a few people had said, you know, like, oh, maybe go a bit slower because, like, people said there's the hills and things. But I actually, beforehand, Marty Ray was there and he's kind of, I was kind of like, oh, I might go out a bit slower. And he kind of looked at me and he was like, no, we're not doing that. So I just honestly kind of just followed Marty the whole way. And then about 22 mile, he kind of left me for dust. But in terms of, like, the actual marathon, it was kind of uneventful. I kind of got into kind of few groups, just went from group to group. I kind of looked at my watch for probably the first 4 mile after the first hill, and then I didn't look at my watch again until the end, which is probably a very tainted experience with marathon, because I know a few people have had like very rough marathon experiences. But as far as my first one went, it was very, very enjoyable. Yeah,
a stunning result. I looked at what you went through halfway in. So you went through halfway in about 83 or an hour 23, and then you negative split from there. So that kind of tells me that you ran it pretty much perfect, and you had a little bit to end with. Did you sort of feel that during the race, or did you feel fatigued at all? Or
I think I know that I went through halfway, and I never kind of felt like the entire marathon. I never felt that it was easy because I was always working, but I never felt that it was beyond me or I was kind of exhausted. So I remember at halfway though, you kind of mentally you go through halfway and you're like, oh, I've got to do this again. In terms of like actually mentally, I think also everyone kind of talked to me about this like pain, this like impending doom that was going to like hit me at the latter miles of a marathon. And it kind of got to like 18, 19. It's kind of like, when? It's kind of like excitement. Oh, it hasn't come yet. Like, what's going to happen? And I didn't know what I was expecting. Like, it's like to be shot or something. But I never ever got that kind of pain. So, in terms of like mentality, I never kind of got that really, really, really rough patch. But there was kind of bits at like 18 miles. You're like, oh, I've still got a long way to go. And you've already ran. So it's kind of like on tired legs.
Yeah. What about nutrition during the race? Did you take any gels or anything like that?
So I took SIS gels. I did practice a little bit throughout. We did like kind of longer marathon sessions, and I practiced taking them then during the training, but I took them every 5 mile, which was actually quite good because it kind of broke the marathon up into when I was taking my gels. So I would do 2 miles, like just 3 miles do the gel, 3 laps of Musgrave. So I took miles or gel every 5 miles, and then at 22 mile I had a packet of jellies in my back pocket and I was saving them for 22 miles. So at 22 I then took the jellies out and ate those.
Fantastic. How did it feel crossing the finish line? Can you talk us through your emotions seeing your time, but maybe also just finishing? What did it feel like?
I remember coming down like the last mile. You can probably say as well, it's the support in Dublin was incredible. Like those clappers, it was annoying at some stages, but it was incredible coming down. I'd probably never done a race that had that big of a crowd and people screaming and shouting. So it was nice across the finish line. I could see like Noel was the finish line and who I ran with, so Marty was the finish line. So it was really nice going and seeing people already there waiting for me. And then you kind of finish and it's like, right, do we just walk back now? Is that it? But I can honestly say probably, you can probably, I don't know, vouch for me, the worst part of the entire marathon was the walk back to the hotel. That like it's, I don't even know how far it was, but it was just because it was pouring down and my legs were that painful. I was like, if this is what it's going to be like tomorrow, I was like, I'm not doing another marathon. But thankfully it was fine. It wasn't it was really, really nice coming towards the finish and being able to see familiar faces.
You looked really strong when you finished, and you definitely looked in a better state than what Noel and Marty Ray did. There was a bit of bending over when they finished, but just to sort of close out there, I guess two little things, to close out the marathon there, we look to do another one soon. And do you have any tips and things that you found helpful for people doing their first marathon?
So I do have an entry for Manchester, which is in April. I'm having a bit of a break now, and then I will probably start training again come the new year for Manchester. And then tips. I mean, I wouldn't really say I'm an experienced marathon runner. I've done one to give advice, but things that kind of like I would say I will take into the next block or advice. I think one, if you can, when you're doing the marathon block, try and get company for as many runs as possible. I think I can probably count on my two hands, less than even one hand, the number of runs in the training block that I did by myself. So the company really helps, especially the long miles and sessions. And then one thing I think is like a reminder to people, it's obviously whenever you're doing a marathon, you've got that training block, and there's going to be races in between where you still expect to be able to, I don't know, run well, but you've got all this miles. And I say this as do as I say, not as I did. It's like, don't put pressure on yourself to perform in races in a block when your legs are tired. it's all part of the process, and eventually then when you taper, it does all come back. Yes, just don't put pressure on yourself, and the races are about a racing stimulus rather than a result. So
100%. Michael, did you have any questions for Caitlin?
No, I enjoyed listening to your questions there, Danny. I was kind of interested in Noel's perspective, as we talked about this. Noel, you were racing yourself, but you're also, you know, got one eye in a sense on how Caitlin's doing. How does that feel when you're racing and kind of, you know, thinking about athletes you're coaching as well?
It's funny, Michael. I've sort of had it for years with my brother Brandon. So Brandon came through run as well. So like London Marathons, I can remember the year of the Mad Heat, for example. I think it was like 26 degrees. And I think only two of us had broke 3 hours. A few of the guys were on a stretcher. And Brandon actually didn't finish that day. So I always had that in my head where when you're in control of your own race, you feel grand, but you do worry about those that you care about behind you, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So hopefully since then, everyone's performed really well. So it's like I get more joy, I guess, as being a runner from seeing Alex or Brandon run well, or Caitlin or Jim, or one of the other guys that the coach. It's just really nice to see them get their goals, I suppose. But on the actual race day, yeah, I don't think about it until I'm through the line, and then panic sets in, I guess.
It was lovely to see, actually, when I was watching the footage, it was nice to see people on their knees at the end. I'm fairly skeptical of some of the things that are happening in world marathon running. And when people run through the line and look like they could do another one, I'm always dubious. It was nice to see Scullion was on the deck. You look knackered.
Anne-Marie looked finishing. I do my best impression of a drama queen, and behind her, I threw up. If somebody said run another mile, I probably could have run another mile. But as soon as you get the feeling of being able to stop, it's there's no way to describe it. It's like I tried to explain to Caitlin during her first marathon, until somebody says you can stop running, the joy in your heart of that. Yeah, it's a funny feeling. The marathon's just a different sport.
To me, I mean, I've only ever done one, and that was enough. Never again. And I hugely, in some ways, underestimated it. But it's you're exactly right. It felt like a different sport to me. There was nothing in my running career that had prepared me for the kind of fatigue that you suffer, and how the body just gets to a point it feels like it's you're just beginning to burn everything up.
It's funny, I think, like Caitlin's describing her own marathon there, you'll go through different feelings throughout the run. Remember, I actually was running the start of the marathon with a good friend of mine, Neil Weir. He always says, the first 10 miles are boring. But if you try to explain that to somebody who doesn't race 10 miles, oh, you're bored for 10 miles. But so there's times you feel great. Like I came through halfway. I remember seeing like my family and just like cheering and like sort of whipping up the crowd. And then a mile later, it's silence again. You're like, I feel awful. But then you get second and third wins. It's a funny old sport.
And how did your performance tally with what your expectations were? Did you get what you wanted from it?
Yes and no. I had a pretty bad block. I think last year was sort of like a breakthrough year for me. So somebody told me before, I've had a bad season, this block of the season, the second half of this year. Somebody said to me, the worst season in your running career is the season after you have a breakthrough, because you think you can run the same times that you've just ran, but of course you're suffering fatigue. So we'd raced we did Derry Half Marathon, we did Belfast Half Marathon. My times were good, and like I was relatively high up the field, but I wasn't running the same time, so my confidence was lower. So I actually went out with a different strategy this year for Dublin than I did for Manchester. Manchester, it was very much, I'm going for this time and I don't care if I blow up, I blow up. Whereas this time I was more running a bit sensibly, probably the best way to describe it. A good friend of mine, Kieran Ray and Derbla, they both run into runs like the marathon. They sort of take it easy and then pick it up. So that was my strategy this year. So yeah, I'm pleased with the final result. I was actually able to stop and give my son a kiss on the way in. Once I knew it was close enough, I was able to have like a moment, as it were. But yeah, okay, I'd really enjoyed it. It was a great day.
Yeah, I mean, negative split again. You went through halfway in about 76:30, so you ended up finishing in 2:34 mid, something like that. So that's the second marathon this year under 2:35. Yeah. So fingers crossed with a bit of rest, and then targeting another marathon next year in the spring, that you'll be able to bring that closer to 2:30 or below.
Yeah, definitely a couple of goals. Again, I mean, I talk about Kieran and Marty Ray. They're big influences in my own running career. Me and Kieran have definitely set the target is a sub 2:30. I remember when I started running, as I mentioned earlier, D Grant, and D ran 2:35. My first marathon was 3 hours 50. And like, and this guy ran 2:35. So then you find yourself 10, 15 years later running similar times. It's pleasing to, I don't know, go through the journey of marathon running, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's one of the really interesting things. I mean, a lot of the stories in the Dublin Marathon, obviously the guy who wins at Scullion are big stories, but Declan Reid was a remarkable story. You know, he broke Tommy Hughes' record, 2:29 for a 50-year-old. And Declan's always been a great runner, but it's a fantastic performance.
Michael, there's so many stories.
Gladys, 2:37 for Gladys.
Yeah, even, national record for Gladys.
So Neil, obviously, yeah, I think you were speaking about him previously. He cycled to Berlin.
Yeah.
And then he wants to go and try and pace me for a PB attempt. There's some like, courageous runners out there.
Yeah. And
other stories.
And I think the thing sometimes that some people don't always appreciate is that, you know, the guy running 3 hours or 2:55 can be working just as hard and just as committed as somebody running 2:05. You know, it's everybody is fighting their own battle. And their commitment is total, you know, and you see that in the faces of people right down the field. I think there you do reach a point whereby it goes from runners to, in a sense, people completing it, but there's lots of club runners who really leave it out there.
Well, there's so many, Michael. Like, there's a guy in our club there, I'm sure you might mention his name, Steve Austin. Steve is the 11th attempt trying to break 3 hours. And he's had some really close runs, and he's running really good half marathon times, and everything would tell you he would comfortably do it, but as I say, the marathon's a different sport. So this in Dublin, it was the first time he broke 3 hours. But if you see the emotion, it means so much to somebody because they put so much work in and years in to then get the result. It's lovely to see. And there's actually a photo or a video on one of the club's social medias. Remember Lord Brandon? He's like the 3 hour pacer in Belfast. He had raced Galway 2 weeks beforehand, and he actually went back in his marathon to help Steve. And you just see him patting him on the back, and it's probably the best. I don't know, the best feeling is to help somebody else. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 2:59.59 sounds a lot better than 3:00.01.
Yeah, definitely. I guess, you know, after the race, what did the celebrations and then the recovery look like for you both? Caitlin, maybe you can kick us off.
We actually didn't do much. Went back to the hotel. There was a lot of football on. People had a few drinks, people went out. I heard there were some Irish dancing by a few runners. But we just got a big pizza and just enjoyed ourselves. Up the next morning, and Marty Ray announces he's been for a walk at 6:30 in the morning. Of course he has. Back to business on Monday.
And is the Sealy something you guys would consider running, or is that part of the plan, or...?
Yeah, that's the goal, Michael. Yeah, last year I ran a big PB in the Sealy after the marathon. I think Caitlin and I discussed this earlier. I think you're for Telford, Caitlin. But
I didn't hear it. Sorry.
You don't expect, because you can't really train speed for 3 or 4 weeks until your legs recover. And then, of course, the Sealy's around the corner. But you have this high like threshold base, just some marathon block, like a few sharpeners can really kick in. So, yeah, the goal, I think, will be Sealy.
Yeah, it's interesting. Sorry.
Go on. So the Sealy sold out quite quickly. I didn't get an entry for the Sealy, but I'm doing Telford the week after.
Yeah, I'll see you there. I'm going over with a couple of the guys.
Yeah.
Funny, I was at Ballyclare today for the cross country, and Conal McCambridge gave a masterclass and beat a pretty strong field. And he's in sort of the midst of his block for Valencia. But he's just got so strong. And it was almost effortless, you know. So he's saying he might not run the Nationals because he wants to taper, but it's interesting sometimes certain people respond really well to marathon training and actually can run really well at other distances. And certainly his cross country is fantastic at the minute. So there's something
I think it is, would always have come from marathon training. Again, if I decide, right, I'll not do a marathon this year and I'll try and get faster. Historically, I've never gotten faster. For me, it's always having a big engine as opposed to raw speed.
And I think, you know, and it's really horses for courses with athletes, you know, and people respond to different things. As you say, it's, you know, and sometimes athletes never discover what they're good at because they don't try certain things. You know, I've experienced with athletes I've coached who are, you know, aerobic animals. A Scandler is somebody I think eventually could run a really good marathon. He is a lot stronger than he is quick. And he has that kind of low slung very efficient kind of shuffling action. So I think he'd be, you know, he could do it really well. But it's just about when's the right time to step up, and what's the right marathon to target.
I think the adage is always a happy runner is a good runner. So
yeah.
Caitlin says for her training, like obviously I've been helping Caitlin for 18 months now. She seemed happy when she's doing running for 2 hours up hills or around the mountain. And having the company, I think, for myself speaking, definitely, I would tend to do about 100 miles a week, but 90% of it is in company. Just it's fun. You get to socialize. You get the exercise. It's not a case of you're out by yourself constantly working. As long as you can enjoy it, I think the goal is actually not as important as the journey, I suppose.
No, and it's interesting. I missed, obviously, the bit where Danny was talking to you guys about roadrunners. But, you know, from the sidelines, I can see you've built, you know, a really happy, you know, group there who really enjoy each other's company. And it's something different because it was very much, it's, you know, pretty much dedicated towards roadrunning and actually distances from 10K up. But it's been successful because obviously there were people who wanted that. And maybe other running clubs weren't providing, you know, the same kind of opportunities.
It's funny when people come to pick, because obviously you're quite new. You want to try and grow as quick as you can, but it's, I guess, important to try and find the correct people. So there's a lot of unsung heroes that people wouldn't really know in the local scene, but brilliant, brilliant guys. Like our support crew is unreal. Any race you go, they're always screaming and hollering. People are never by themselves. They're always well celebrated. There's a guy in the club, Stevie Todd. Stevie's a great runner himself. Always bringing the tent down, always bringing fun. People are always volunteering. I think that's probably the best sign of the club, that we're not trying to get people to do stuff. People are constantly volunteering to help out. So we're very, very blessed, I think.
Yeah, and there's something about also clubs not getting too big. You know, when you look at some of the really big clubs, they end up being, you know, two or three clubs within the same banner. Yours seems a very tight group.
Yeah, I think we're blessed. Because we set up ourselves and we're sort of, all the guys, I think I was the youngest when we set up, and I was like 30, 35, 36. You sort of know who you are, so you're able to build an identity. So it's not about necessarily looking the best or having the best social media, it's but probably enjoying it the most, I think, is important. And not trying to be bigger than you are, just allow yourself to grow like organically, as opposed to chase, chase, chase.
No frills, just hard work.
Coffee.
Yeah, I think we're gonna run out of time here pretty soon. But look, I think that basically that covers it. And congratulations to you both. I don't know if there's any last sort of shout outs that you want to, you know, that you want to give while you're on the pod. I mean, you are on the Backstreet Podcast, Belfast's premier running podcast. So feel free.
Belfast's only podcast, Danny.
I'd like to say thanks to all the family and friends are involved and give their spare time to basically allow us to run first and foremost, but secondly also to come and support us. Not necessarily the most glamorous sport to go and stand in the rain in Carlingford, for example, but yeah, they're always up for it.
What about you, Caitlin? Any closing words?
I can echo those words.
Thank our coach, Michael.
Yeah, I was going to say, you want to thank the coach?
I'll thank Daniel and Michael for having us on.
our pleasure.
Yeah, our pleasure. Actually, I think there's big things coming for both you and especially you, Caitlin. So, look, I'm really glad that we're potentially the first ones that got to interview you. So, yeah, thanks so much again. And thanks again. It'll be Saturday. And, I'll see you guys in the next couple of days.
Cheers, guys. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Cheers. You.